There's something else you should know about God. People often ponder about the possibility that there may be a man with a big white beard up in the clouds somewhere, known to some as God. Atheists will deny the existence of such a God, saying that the idea of a man like God sitting up in the clouds watching everything that we do is absurd. And they're absolutely right. This is not God. We have to get a few things straight. Most of the atheist arguments are based on denying a God or gods which have been conjured out of the imagination of human beings and have no basis in reality or the true teachings of Islam or monotheism. Anything a human being could ever possibly draw or sculpt or indeed imagine is only a creation. And Allah is the creator, not the creation. Allah is neither male nor female. He created the male and the female. Allah does not have a physical form. He created all physical forms. Allah is not bound by space or time. He created space and time. That's why asking questions like, where is God, just doesn't make sense. Because the question itself implies that God is physical. Because you have to be physical to be somewhere. And something that is somewhere cannot generally be somewhere else. While God is omnipresent. Imam Ali, the first Imam and the fourth Caliph, said, whoever said in what is he, held that he is contained. And whoever said on what is he, held he is not on something else. Asking when was Allah is again in itself a paradoxical question. Because we, when asking such a question, are asking it from our own understanding, from within the limits of time. It's kind of like a goldfish asking where his owner is, when the goldfish's entire understanding of existence is limited to the fishbowl, while the owner lives outside that fishbowl. Now that we've understood this, the answer to the question, why can't I see God, becomes absolutely clear. There is no verse in the Holy Quran which says, here I am, believe in me. Nor will Allah ever say, look at me. It's just nonsensical. Because anything that you can see with the physical eye is a limited creation of Allah, and therefore cannot be Allah himself. The Holy Quran says, say, Allah is the creator of all things, and he is the one, the supreme. When you see something, you are essentially seeing its attributes. For example, if you see an apple, you're seeing that it is red. It has a round shape, a stalk. These are the attributes of the apple. If you see a person, his or her attributes are that they have limbs, a head, a body, a face, etc. Now, associating physical attributes to Allah in the religion of Islam is known as shirk, a major sin, because it is essentially limiting Allah in your perception. And Allah, in reality, is unlimited. Imam Ali eloquently explains that this is because every attribute is a proof that it is different from that to which it is attributed, and everything to which something is attributed is different from the attribute. The redness of the apple is a separate physical attribute which we associate with the apple. The very fact that we can differentiate between the attribute, i.e. the redness, and the attributed, i.e. the apple, proves that the attribute and the attributed are two separate things, but Allah is one. The Holy Quran says, glory be to your Lord, the Lord of honor, above what they describe. Unable to grasp this concept, people have always fallaciously attributed partners to Allah. They try to visualize Allah as an all-powerful jinn or a man, or even try to show that he has begotten sons or daughters. The Holy Quran says, and they make the jinn associates with Allah, while he created them, and they falsely attribute to him sons and daughters without knowledge. Glory be to him, and highly exalted is he above what they ascribe to him. Allah is not any kind of imaginable existence. Glory to the Lord of the heavens and the earth, the Lord of the throne of authority. He is free from the things they attribute to him. It's a question which children ask.
Will I see God when I go to heaven?
And the reason they ask this question is because they have not yet developed the maturity to understand that Allah cannot be seen. There's nothing to physically see except the signs of Allah, i.e. his creations. When Imam Ali was asked, "Have you seen Allah?" he said, "Eyes cannot see him face to face, but hearts perceive him through the realities of belief. He is near to things, but not physically contiguous, and he is far from them, but not physically separate." Since human beings are limited physical creations, it is through the physical that we can gain an understanding of the metaphysical. We can understand that greatness is a thing by perceiving the mountains. We can understand that love is a thing by witnessing the affection between a mother and child. And we can understand that beauty is a thing by observing nature, for example. But can you see beauty itself? Can the eyes witness love itself? Can you perceive what greatness itself is through the physical eyes? You can describe these things, which you know to exist, through physical things. But the only way that you can truly comprehend them is through the eyes of the heart. And Allah is the source of all beauties, of all love, and all greatness. The source itself can never be seen, but the signs of that necessary existence, which can be observed through the limited physical dimension, can be seen. The Holy Quran reminds us, "And when you said, 'O Musa, we will not believe in you until we see Allah manifestly,' so the punishment, the lightning bolt, overtook you while you looked on." There's something for you to look at. Now, atheists will sometimes come along and say, "There are thousands of gods, why don't you believe in any of them?" They'll say that they're smarter because they believe in just one less god than you. But they've missed the point. Allah does not need to be proven. What needs to be proven is the non-existence or the limited nature of all other false gods or deities. Once we've eliminated all fallacies and misconceptions about false gods, Allah, the absolute oneness, the united being, the necessary existence, becomes absolutely clear. That's why to be Muslim, you have to first realize that La ilaha, there is no God, and then realize illallah, except the God, i.e. Allah. Many of those who claim to believe in God have actually not done the first step, i.e. rid themselves of any false gods. Ironically, atheists have. What remains is for us to recognize that there is something else, some force, some love, some mercy, which has a major role to play in life, the universe, and everything. There have always been a small number of people throughout the ages who have recognized the existence of one unified creator, while most people have always misinterpreted the reality and imagined false gods or deities of their own. Hinduism, for example, famously boasts many deities, some say 33 million gods and goddesses. But some scholars state all deities are typically viewed in Hinduism as emanations or manifestations of a genderless principle called Brahman, representing the many facets of ultimate reality. Most ancient Greeks recognized the 12 major Olympian gods and goddesses, although philosophies such as Stoicism and some forms of Platonism use language that seems to assume a single transcendent deity. Great thinkers, prophets, philosophers, sages and scholars have, throughout the ages, tried to make clear to people the reality of the unified existence, the one God, the Creator, whatever you want to call it, Allah, and that this Allah is unlimited. No physical attributes can be applied to it, nothing can be compared to it. People, in their inability to understand that there is a metaphysical existence which supersedes this physical dimension, end up associating concepts like greatness to things that they can understand. For example, if there's a person who recognizes that God is all powerful, but then they associate power with a hammer, that's how you end up with gods like Thor with his hammer and Zeus with his lightning bolts, and even, as some modern Christians have understood it, God the Father of Jesus Christ. But when you break it down and contemplate, it becomes very clear that none of these gods have any real power. Nobody really believes in their heart of hearts that a physical god with limbs or a head or a body which can be seen, felt, heard, or sensed actually has absolute power. And when such false attributes are applied to the Creator, people subconsciously distance themselves from the reality of the omnipotent Creator, who or which is everywhere and in everything. The Holy Quran states, "And certainly we created man, and we know what his mind suggests to him, and we are nearer to him than his life vein." And when people give attributes to Allah in their minds, they limit him, and through this association, they essentially distance themselves in their minds from him. This is the problem that shirk, associating others with Allah, has. Because the moment someone distances himself within his own mind from Allah, it paves the way for all sorts of ignorance. And ignorance is the real enemy of humanity. This is why Prophet Ibrahim broke the idols, why Moses opposed the Pharaoh, who claimed to be God. This is why the first of the Ten Commandments is, "I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt not have any strange gods before me." And why the arrival of the Prophet Muhammad in Mecca and the establishment of Islam is known as the end of the age of ignorance. It has always been about rejecting all gods and accepting only the one true consciousness, the necessary existence, the one, the unified, the holistic, the omnipresent, Allah. "And we did not send before you any messenger, but we reveal to him that there is no God but me, therefore serve me." If the message had been, "You used to worship the hammer god, but now you'll worship the lightning god," or "You used to worship the white god, now you should only worship the blue god," what's the point? What's the difference? The reality is that none of these perceived imaginary gods have any power. Allah is the only reality. Atheists, in their attempt to deny the one true existence, do exactly what all the ignorant people of the past did, which is to give attributes to Allah. They say, "Oh, a man in the clouds, that's just ridiculous." Well, yeah, it is ridiculous. Why are you attributing things to Allah which you have no knowledge of? They say, "Oh, he's watching me even when I'm in the shower. How intrusive." Well, you're imagining Allah to have physical eyes and a human body. That's why it makes you feel uncomfortable, because you've assumed attributes to Allah which are totally false. And they say, "Oh, this God, that God, so many gods, I reject them all." Well, good. You should reject all those gods that you've been imagining, because none of them have any power. So whether you are arguing that this is God and you do believe in him, or that this is God and you don't believe in him, you need to first stop, rewind, reanalyze, and realize that first of all, this is not God. Once we've done that and we've recognized La ilaha, then we can start to talk about illallah, about whom Imam Ali says, "Praise is due to Allah, whose worth cannot be described by speakers, whose bounties cannot be counted by calculators, and whose claim to obedience cannot be satisfied by those who attempt to do so, whom the height of intellectual courage cannot appreciate, and the divings of understanding cannot reach. He for whose description no limit has been laid down, no eulogy exists, no time is ordained, and no duration is fixed." Oof, that was deep. You might want to watch that one again. Don't forget to share, like, subscribe, etc. You know the drill.